everybody. Welcome to episode 62. Is that correct? Yes, 62 of 90s Court. I am one of the hosts, Lisa Monahan.
I'm Andy Clodfelter. I'm your super energetic and enthusiastic host that comes here every week with just all the good feels and laughs.
You are as if someone dropped a Mentos into a Diet Coke container, shook it up, and just threw it into a group of people. And that's the energy that Andy Clodfelter brings.
I prefer my original thought, like, because I was trying to figure out where you're going with that. And I was just thinking, like, you're like the Mentos of people, which would also be terrific.
Fresh maker. Yeah. Well, I mean, you are a fresh maker.
I make things
so
fresh.
I don't really know what that means. It just makes me want a Subway sandwich, which is not what I think they wanted from that slogan. So fresh. Hi, Andy. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Yeah, against all odds, we're here again.
We're here. Like, can you believe it?
You guys are probably sitting at like episode 5 and you're like, these sons of bitches are not going to be going for another 5 episodes. And yet,
guess what?
Here we are.
62. Well, I think it was our fan Alyssa messaged me saying that I think with all the bonus episodes and like recess and everything that we did, this last one or this one, it makes 69. And she kind of did a giggly face. I was like, tee hee indeed.
My dude. Man. I mean, just as a quick reminder, because it was just so much fun, because like I love showing up to stuff where I have to do like no work whatsoever. Again, I did that episode a few weeks back of the Next Session podcast, which is Alyssa and her husband Adam's podcast, D&D. It is really, really fun, even if you don't understand D&D stuff.
True.
Just us being ridiculous the entire time. So it was a blast.
Goofballs.
So yeah. Before we get started, though, into the milky goodness of the 90s, which I've decided is milky, which is unpleasant really for everyone.
I would really call it more of a nougat, but that's okay.
Yeah, more of a soft nougat. Like, just like a shitty milk, shitty Three Musketeers. Shout outs to our illustrious bailiffs. To Lord Jake, one of our newer patrons, thank you again so much for being on board. Nate, my man, I do love Nate, again, every week shoots me texts while he's listening to the episodes with feedback on different things.
Yes.
David, again, just one of our biggest supporters on Twitter, who is just always active on there. Afty Wafty, the OG, been back. Afton, thank you so much for, I don't know if I've ever called her Afty Wafty, but for some reason,
for
here we are. Afton, thank you so much for being here with us since the beginning, even before the podcast started. Tim, my dear friend, who I speak with every week, and of course, Michael, again, thank you so much for your input on Facebook and in general about the show. You guys are all awesome, and again, we'll be shouting out the rest of the patrons next week, but just want to say we love you guys, you're the best, and if you're interested in becoming a patron and thinking like, well, what does a patron mean? Well, it means you give us money, which I know that's like the bad part, but like, listen to the good part. You get extra bonus content like all the time. Now, when I say extra bonus content all the time, that means that Lisa and I do need to get...
we owe you an episode.
We did talk about... I had a pretty big gusto last week about the fact that we were going to get one done for Thanksgiving, and then we just didn't, so...
I disappeared off the face of the earth.
Lisa did get absorbed into a turkey, so she's had an excuse this past week. So but yeah, basically we'll give you bonus content, you get weekly shout outs or bi-weekly shout outs on the show, stickers, and in general you get a little bit more control and get to put in some suggestions for episodes you'd like to hear, because we definitely will go to our patrons first for episode ideas.
You also left out two things: stickers and a very warm, fuzzy feeling on the inside to know that you're just like, you just love the show so much that we love you back that much as well.
I did say stickers, but I do regret not mentioning the warm, fuzzy feelings.
I don't remember the stickers because my brain doesn't work so good.
You're recovering from some severe turkey trauma.
Let me tell you what happened. I got a half gallon jug of water that I'm going to start drinking out of, and I've drank half of a gallon of water today, and I think it erased memories like Memento style. So I'm trying to catch up with my brain today.
I wish Memento was 90s, because that movie, I think it was like just in 2000. That I can watch that movie over and over and over again.
You know what? I think we just found half of our first Patreon episode.
Yeah. I'll tell you this, and this is something that other people who listen to the show might notice too. I almost hate covering things that are like really, really good that I like. because it can't make, there's nothing funny about it. You're just like, it's really good. Let me tell you why it's really good. The end.
You're just passionate. You're just passionate, man. Memento was super good. In fact, I'll actually give a call out to something related to Memento later. Just remind me during my court case, okay?
Okay.
If I don't say it. Okay. Let's get started with the 90s things, okay? I am up first according to Zen Notes, and today I'm talking about a woman from the 90s that we all loved and probably remember fondly. And for once, no, it's not a singer. It's not an actor from TV or anything like that. Instead, it's a woman whose accent and fun spirit took the world by storm and skyrocketed a company into fame. I am talking about the one, the only, the Snapple Lady.
What?
Hi, Fun Snapple. A while ago, I got a letter from Michael Lessage. I'm getting married in June. I would like to lay in a supply of Snapple for the wedding. That's so romantic.
Well, we got married in April.
Well, I'm not going to play the whole 30-second ad, but that's that chick, the Snapple Lady, is Wendy Kaufman, and she was a treat with a capital T, Wendy Kaufman,
I don't think I remember this lady.
You don't remember the Snapple Lady?
I know, which is wilder because of the fact that you just said, like, and everybody remembers it, because if you don't, you were a piece of shit that lived in a hole, and
those,
so I don't remember.
Those are the exact words I said.
Yeah, that
Thank
sounds
you
like
for,
you.
You haven't drank a half gallon of water today, so it sounds like your memories are perfectly intact.
Yeah, it's weird. You're just saying things in a blackout. I can't help you.
Oh, so yeah, I'm surprised you don't remember her. She, well, if you look up pictures of her, you might recognize her face. You might not. That's okay. But she was the best. Did we all get tired of her? Those of us who remember her, did we get tired of her at some point? Yeah, probably. But before we crossed that hate threshold, she charmed the pants off of us. Maybe just me. But she charmed the pants off us because she had a little New York accent. She was just the most darling thing. So Wendy Kaufman began working in 1991 for Snapple under her best friend's father, Arnold Greenberg, who happened to be one of the three founders of Snapple. So that's not bad. That's not a bad way to get your foot in the door with Snapple. Apparently, when Wendy was younger, she had written a note to the character that played – or the actor that played Greg Brady on The Brady Bunch. And that letter went unanswered. And it broke her heart. Can you imagine?
Ouch.
I think I wrote a letter to someone famous once. Secret memory. I just remembered. I think I tried to write an email to Alan Jackson, the country singer, once.
Whoa.
But I think I just wrote like Alan Jackson in the two line.
And he was just like,
and then I just sent it.
I didn't send myself an email.
I think you got the like message, you know, like unsuccessful attempt or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I guess he doesn't have an email address.
So you just sent it to just, I didn't understand. I think you're saying you put that in the subject line. So
no.
You made an effort to send an email to someone and you just typed a name in there.
Alan. I think it was Alan Jackson.
Alan Jackson at nothing.nothing. Just
Alan Jackson.
Period.
The end. I can't believe I just remembered that. I'm glad I remember these things as we go.
Wowzers.
You know what? This is honest. This is what you get when you support the show. Like unbridled honesty. It's so sad. So back to Wendy Kaufman. She wrote that letter to Greg Brady. No response. Brokenhearted. So it turns out while she was working at Snapple, she discovered that there was a bunch of fan mail coming in of people trying to connect with the company and just say that, like, hey, I love your drinks and everything like that. And so she was like, you know what? I'm going to take it upon myself. I'm going to start answering these letters one by one. And she did. And then once it was found out that that's what she was doing, she, like, the ad agency that was working with Snapple at the time was like, yo, you got yourself like the best homegrown campaign right here. You've got this super sweet chick from New York with the cutest little accent and a little bubbly cheeks. And she is writing, like, she's connecting with the customers. Let's just do this a thing. So all the commercials were her just reading fan mail. And then the commercials would also have the people, they would feature them, the people who wrote in the mail. And sometimes they were bangers and sometimes, you know, they were just the whole thing. There was a married couple that they went and talked to, and they were like making handmade glasses, like drinking glasses out of old Snapple bottles. And then there was one that was like, hey, our dog goes crazy every time it hears a snap open the top of a Snapple, and like it comes running and just goes nuts. And the crew was there and the dog didn't move, didn't blink. I'm pretty sure the dog was dead. They were like, come on, dog. And then, you know, and the dog was like, I hate this shit. I hate you.
Wait, was this in the commercial?
It was in the commercial. And they were like,
why would they include it?
I don't know, because it's just funny, I guess. I appreciate that they didn't actually fake it. The dog was just like, fuck you. I don't want your pink lemonade. And I don't know. But it's I don't know. Wendy's charming spirit and her humor skyrocketed Snapple sales from 23 million to 750 million in 1995. Whoa. That's a huge jump. Huge jump. And then like she was fired in 1994.
Like if you have 23 of something, you're like, oh, this is fine. And you have 750, you're just like, this is too many things.
This is too many of those things.
But then like add millions to that.
And you're like, that's too many. That's way too many of those things.
That's far too many things.
If those, especially if all those were Snapples. Did you ever drink Snapple?
I mean, I tried it occasionally, but like for the most part, I was a much bigger sugar daddy. Not in the current sense, but more in the the daddy who drank sugary beverages. So I was typically a soda guy for the most part. I mean, there were so many good sodas going on in the 90s. Why would you ever drink Snapple?
Why would you waste your time with Fruit Punch, the most amazing drink there ever was?
I'm guessing that probably Nickelodeon just never got a deal with Snapple, and that's the reason that I never saw these commercials, because, like, for a long period of time, like, that was, like, all that I watched. I don't know, like, what years were these on?
91 to 95.
Okay, yeah, then I was definitely watching Nickelodeon, so sorry, yeah, Snapple.
I don't think Snapple really hit the Nickelodeon crew. Maybe it would have been, like, maybe the, like, to the moms or something, but it wasn't really hitting. But Wendy was terminated in 1994. But that was only because Snapple sold to Quaker Oats, and then she was reinstated when Snapple sold again. Yeah, that doesn't make sense. But then Snapple was sold again to Treyarch Brands in 97, and she was reinstated then. Seems like, unfortunately, looking her up, there are all these super sad videos of her online talking about how before she was picked up as a Snapple lady that she was, like, depressed and struggling with her weight. And she was like, yeah, I did Coke. I liked it. I was like, Wendy, coming out swinging.
Okay.
Like, okay, Wendy. Maybe that's where she gets her little perk in her step, I guess. But she was like, but then, you know, becoming the Snapple lady was a huge boon for her and made her like America's most beloved New Yorker little lady. But apparently she departed Snapple in 2008 and then went on to be in like Celebrity Fit Club on VH1 as well as like VH1's I Love the 90s series. So she understands she's forever tied to the 90s and doing her thing. But man, Snapple lady. She would sit at a little desk. It was the best because it was like the desk was like the lower third of the screen and she was just peeking up over the top and it was just the cutest shit I've ever seen. Snapple lady.
When you mentioned the I Love the 90s like comeback, like I always think about like all of these stars that were like super popular for like a year or like 2 years or something like that that are super obscure and then never really acted or did anything again. And like the fact that they're like probably working like not at a grocery store, but you know what I mean. Something like just a normal ass job. And then all of a sudden, like out of the blue, they'll be like, hey, do you want to show up on this show? And they're like, hell yes.
Hell so, yeah. I'm, what's his? Oh shit. The, something of love. Something. Obvious. Oh, I'm going to have to look this up. I hate having to do this on the show because my brain no works so good.
No.
The guy with the clock around his neck.
Oh yeah, I mean I'm aware of who he is. I when you said of love, I was like, okay, I know, but I just couldn't think of it.
It's over. Just go on.
We're done.
Leave me behind. I'm done.
Snapple.
Damn it.
Yeah, it was funny because when you're talking about sending a letter to somebody and being heartbroken, like this is a weird thought because I was not heartbroken in the situation, but it brought this memory was that when we were in like fourth grade, I don't know what it was. Like our fourth grade class was rocking. It was one of the best grades we ever had. But our teacher randomly was like, hey, we're going to do this experiment where like you guys are all going to write letters to various companies like and see if you can get like at promotional ad material or whatever. And so we would write these letters like clearly as children, like it's a child writing this letter, and we would send them off. And like the amount of people that were just like crushed because they would all show up to the classroom like he got them and showed up in the morning with those things because they were all delivered to him. And then he gave them to the kids who wrote the letter or whatever. And so, like, all these people would write letters like Hershey's and stuff like that, or like these bigger brands, and they would just get nothing, and they would keep watching other people get their stuff. And so, at the end, I sent a letter to Mars because Mars is my shit, and Mars was like, hell yeah, we got you, Andy. And they sent me, I know there was like a huge M&M's poster, and just like a bunch of like stickers and like other smaller posters and stuff, all of this different promotional material for their various candies. So I was pretty jazzed about that.
Who doesn't want the big yellow peanut M&M poster on their wall in sixth grade?
You know, how what's cool wild to you? Me is that like you I pictured in my head it was a yellow peanut M&M poster.
Yeah, of
and
course
you,
it was.
Without even saying it, you knew exactly what kind of poster it was.
Yeah, and he's just doing his little saucy eyes mm-hmm. and like being cute and silly. And I can't believe that's a poster.
Oh,
can't believe
saucy,
they, that's rad.
Saucy eyes.
Also, it's Flavor Flav.
Flavor Flav. Thank you. I was going to like something.
Thank you.
I think there was a love, like he did a show or something like that.
Flavor of Love.
Flavor
I had
of Love.
To,
that's right.
I had to do some spelunking on the internet. But that's my thing.
All right. So I'm going to take you back real quick.
Let's do it.
To the 1960s.
Ooh.
So I wanted to tell you first off that I was going to cover this. Like, this is an interesting one where I was going to cover a more broad topic.
Mm-hmm.
Of a resurgence of a certain thing in the 90s, but I decided against it, and I thought, well, we can cover that in the future.
Okay.
So I drilled down a little bit more on something more specific once I started looking into this. So, in the 1960s, there was a certain type of doll that was created with large spiked up hair, kind of weird little faces, sometimes even like little gems in their chests,
mm-hmm.
And these were called troll dolls.
Chucky dolls. Oh, troll dolls.
Yeah. And so they existed for quite some time in various different forms. And in the 90s, they had a huge resurgence. But I'm not going to talk to you about that.
Okay.
I'm going to talk to you about a decision that I'm going to be like Trollco. Made. Their marketing team said, people seem to love these fucking trolls, right?
Yeah.
But what we really need is for boys to love fucking trolls. Because like
boys,
they don't.
What we need is for boys to love fucking trolls.
Not yeah, for boys to love procreating with trolls. So, so they wanted to get the kids into the trolls and the boys. So they're like, we need to make something fucking badass.
Okay.
For boys. And so they said, well, we've got an idea. We're gonna take the biggest left turn in history, and we go from these most adorable, like a toy that is completely designed to be adorable and cute and collectible. To mm-hmm. let's make these trolls fucking murder people.
Oh.
And that is how they came up with Battle Trolls.
Battle Trolls. Little trolls, but what do guys wish for? Battle Trolls are out of control! Battle Trolls! Big hair dudes with bad attitudes! Born to battle! Even other Battle Trolls! Troll Call! Promenader! Controller! Nunchuck Troll! Bullseye Troll!
Okay.
Oh my gosh. I haven't seen these in 28 years.
Yeah.
Oh my
the
gosh.
The wild thing, Lisa, is this, is that I own one of these, at least one of these. Because this was like exactly at the age when I would have been owning toys like this, because the epitome of a good toy to Andy Clodfelter between the ages of 5 and like 10 was, does it have a thing that shoots stuff? Like, and the crazy thing was, so Battle Trolls, we'll get into a little bit more details, but for those of you who cannot see these at the time, basically the brand went insanely hard in the paint on trying to make them seem as badass as possible. The slogan was big haired dudes with bad attitudes. They were large, almost 5-inch tall toys. They came in packaging with a small biographical profile for each distinct troll. They said it was kind of like an ode to like G.I. Joe figures, where they'd have like a little bit of a thing, but there was no like canon connecting them, you know, because usually there'll be like, oh, there's like a world that they all are connected to or something. They're like, no, fuck that. We want to make cool looking toys. And rip off a few, like, you know, generic ideas that other people have used. And probably a few things that were just nearly trademarked lawsuits. So they'd have the details on the backs of the packaging about what this troll was. And then they would have details on the card backs as well, explaining how to, quote, properly neglect them, suggesting that the owner hide them in a dark, smelly place and keep them, quote, cranky, mean, and ready to fight anything or anyone for years.
Which is how so many people have become amazing parents
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
in their 30s. Mm-hmm. Wow. This is how you neglect your child. Lock them in a closet. Don't feed them. Fart under the door. Put a towel under the door so they have to live with it. That's how you raise a battle troll.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's just, it's so wild. It seems like they're like, we bought you a literal demon from the nine layers of hell, and we got you this, and this is how you have to raise them properly. And so each of them, the cool thing, like I mentioned about why I love these, was that each one had weapons or props for them to hold in both hands, most of which were designed to launch a profile. In fact, they said, I think, like, all but four had a projectile that shot out.
Yes, I'm looking at these.
All I care about. I want a fucking, like, crossbow or something like that that shoots like a bolt. Examples of types of characters made. Now, when I say these, they're not cute in any way. They look angry as hell. They're different colors. Yes. And generally just very warped and weird looking. Pirates, ninjas, Vikings, robots, policemen, knights, punk rockers, Wild West outlaws, athletes, vampires, Frankenstein's monster, werewolves, Cyclops, Rambo, Terminator cyborg. Yeah, probably some a little bit of copyright infringement there on Rambo and Terminator. Mad Max villain, Ultimate Warrior from wrestling, and so many more. The cost of these was between $5 and $7.
It's not bad.
And they were introduced in the year 1992, so I was 7. So they released 3 sets of the dolls. So, you know, one in early 1992, one in late 1992, and then one in early 1993 before being discontinued in late 1993.
Oh my gosh, it was such a short heyday. I've seen all of these hundreds of times in my life, and yet I haven't seen them in so long that I'm dying here.
I know. I'm looking at all these and I'm just like, I kind of thought like, wow, this is ridiculous and funny, but I'm like, no, like I recognize a lot of these. Like I'm pretty sure I might've had this. There's like a couple ones that are really ringing true to me here. One of them is like this thing that has a, it was like almost like a harpoon gun, that shot out. Cause you need something big. Cause they're not just going to do bullets.
I definitely saw, I guess that's supposed to be the Hulk. I see one that looks like he's supposed to be the Hulk, and I remember someone in my family or friend group had that one and I played with it,
Yeah.
It's weird. Not favorite this item on eBay, Lisa. Don't do it.
Don't you do it.
Don't do it.
But yeah, I mean, think about how rare these have to be now, given how little of a run they had from... like for like just over a year, maybe, that they were making these. So anyways, these are super rad. Like I said, in I wanted to make fun of them like a shitload because at first that's what I was going with. But in the end, I'm like, these are actually pretty cool toys. Like I said, it's so weird that as a 7-year-old, all I cared about was, does the gun shoot? So I don't want a gun that just sits there and does nothing because I'm a psychopath and I need this. I'm 7. The end.
This is amazing. Oh my gosh. Battle Trolls. Andy, I want to hear people who have, like, if you don't know what they are, look them up because you probably did have them or played with them. I want to know which ones people had.
Battle Trolls are out of control.
Someone please help these Battle Trolls. They've been deeply neglected. So deeply neglected.
Their parents
by
are
design.
So bad.
Their parents are so bad. Holy
so
cow.
Yeah. So thank you guys so much for listening to our first half of an episode. I did want to give a quick... let you guys know about something. So Lisa and I, 90s Court, is participating in what's called, there's like a Secret Santa promo swap for the 12 days of Christmas.
Okay.
So for the days of 12 days leading up to, I think, Christmas Eve, each podcast will be dropping their episode. So in our stream for 90s Court, you'll be listening to an episode of 90s Court done by a different podcast's hosts.
Whoa.
So they will be putting on 90s Court for you all. And in the same way, we will be doing another podcast. We will be doing another podcast that week as well. So we're going to be covering another podcast while someone covers ours. And so there's going to be a promo here during the break for that thing. So just wanted to let you know and have an explanation of what that is. So in a few weeks, you'll be hearing from somebody else doing 90s Court. So
we should just make them choose a side. Someone will be Andy, someone will be Lisa. They cannot be themselves. They must be one of
the
other.
They have to be one of us. Like, it's just clear that one of them just loves songs and dancing, and one of them loves video games.
Perfect.
So anyways, we will catch you all back after the break.
Bye.
Was the nights before Christmas, and all through the waves, podcasts were playing, for 12 total days. The feeds will be full of Secret Santa cheer as podcasters swap shows at random. Oh dear. From movies to games, all aspects of geekdom, creatures and features, topics brimming with fun. That doesn't really rhyme, but it's too late now. Listen through December with episodes 12 and perhaps something extra? A dungeon to delve? So join us, 12 podcasts, oh listeners dear, as we keep you warm in the winter of this tough year. Listen and share, join in with the laughter, as we have audio gifts galore and Christmas thereafter. Yep, the fire has spread to the mixer. I knew it was a bad idea to light a live fire in the studio. Podcast Secret Santa starts Sunday, December 13th, across 12 podcast feeds. Our gift to you.
How fun was that, huh?
So good.
Did you guys have as much fun as we did during that break?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Let's be honest.
If we're being real, you guys are probably like, well, look, listen to all that stuff, huh? Mm-hmm. So welcome back. As always, we're going to start you off with some polls from last week. And then, of course, we'll be getting to the court case what you came here for, hopefully.
That's true. Hopefully. Maybe you came here for just the poll results. And if that's the case, well, then hold on to your butts.
If that's the results, we got nothing for you after this. So,
yeah, you could easily go to Facebook, Twitter, or, well, you couldn't go to Instagram, but you could see that stuff. But I'm going to go ahead and give you, I'm going to ruin that for you. Okay. So, yeah. If you recall, last week was Mrs. Doubtfire versus the Cable Guy. Well, I'm going to go ahead and call this a melee. Facebook gave it 80-20 to Mrs. Doubtfire. Twitter, 69-31% Mrs. Doubtfire. And Instagram, 78-22% Mrs. Doubtfire. As if there were any contests here, really. But for the people who were like my Cable Guy stands, I'm into it. I see you. I validate you. I applaud you.
Twitter's been pretty good lately about taking away some of the embarrassment of the losses.
Somewhat. Yeah, like, yeah, I will
like
say that.
Because it's like, I think like the PB Crisp thing was huge. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like coming in with 31% compared to 20% and 22%, it's pretty good. So
it's, yeah. Ooh, but you know what, Cable Guy, you had a good try. I would not say that was the one to put you up against totally, but Mrs. Doubtfire would just win no matter. You could put it up against religion and people would be like, Mrs.
Whoa.
Doubtfire. Whoa.
Just like religion as a whole.
It's just all religions that go, yeah, no, no, Mrs. Doubtfire.
So
there's Robin Williams there. It's so funny.
Robin Williams is great. Man, I always think about, like, it's just crazy how many Robin Williams films were, like, because we're like, oh, he only had, like, the one series. I'm like, I mean, he was in, what, Good Will Hunting and, like, a bunch of other, like, really big films?
Every movie.
Yeah.
Every movie. He was in all of them, it turns out. So... But yeah, there are our poll results. Thank you.
We made it.
We love you.
We made it. So hey, we got a court case this week. We don't always cover TV that often, but this week we just thought, you know what? We're going to bring you two of the hottest, coolest, and most memorable sitcoms from the 90s that we all know and love.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because something just came across my desk. Ba-dum-bum-ba-dum. Ba-dum-bum.
I can't do it. Maybe if I punch myself in the throat, I'll get it. I'm not going to try that. I'll try that off air.
Holy shit.
Well, just like...
Breaking news. Lisa Monahan, larynx crushed. Self-inflicted wound.
They go to the ER. Ma'am, who did this to you? It was me.
It was me. I did it.
I thought it gave me secret powers.
Tim Allen.
Oh, another home improvement case. Get her in there.
The third time this week. We thought COVID was the killer right now. No, it's Tim Allen.
It's Tim Allen. Fucking jerk.
Oh, I digress. So, Andy. Wow.
So the court case this week, we're going to be covering, as we mentioned in the episode title, Home Improvement versus Dinosaurs. Not to be mistaken with Jurassic Park. I just like using the voice of the nucleus or the DNA from Jurassic Park to say Dinosaurs.
Absolutely.
Versus Dinosaurs, the television program. And so, since you went first last week, I will be going first this week to talk to you all about dinosaurs.
Do it.
Dinosaurs, American family sitcom TV series from spring of 1991 until fall of 1994. So, again, it's one of those things.
Right,
that I think
Snapple Lady, yeah.
Exactly, it's one of those things that had, because of its shorter run, I always feel like those are the things that bring, like, it's not so much like, man, I love that show, it was so great. It's more so like, it was a weird show, like, mm-hmm. and it brings a lot of nostalgia because it's like, holy shit, I can't believe they made this program during the time. That being said, it is a good show. And you know, Rotten Tomatoes and things would support that. I think it's got like a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes as well, which is weird. They do TV shows sometimes, so.
That is odd. The show was but run, valuable.
Yeah, the show was run by three production companies.
Okay.
Michael Jacobs Productions, mm-hmm. Jim Henson Productions, and Walt Disney Television. So, a lot going on in this flick. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the Jim Henson portion of this.
Okay.
So Jim Henson originally suggested the idea for the show in 1988, suggesting a sitcom about a family of dinosaurs, which people were like, what the what in the actual fuck? Jim Henson, you can't, man. You are just so old now. Until they saw the success of The Simpsons, when they finally realized, oh, it's actually possible to make a sitcom about non-real-life human characters. So, because, you know, obviously that was a cartoon and this was, you know, more of a suits and animatronics. It's, you know, it's weird in concept to think about a sitcom, which there have been so many of before that, where it's, you know, based around somebody that's not human or a cartoon. You know, the cartoons are supposed to be funny only and, you know, those kind of things. So, unfortunately, Jim Henson continued to work on this project up until his death in 1990. So sadly, he never got to see the show air on television.
Damn, I didn't realize he passed that early.
Yeah. The show was a hit from the word go, which is a large reason the network did not interfere with production, so they had a lot more creative freedom.
Was it on ABC?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was on ABC, and it feels like, I understand what they mean by that about the creative freedom, because there was definitely a little bit more risque elements in certain ones that, like, just some topics that normally are not covered in most sitcoms that are almost like, because they're dinosaurs, it's more okay to talk about them because we're not talking about that specific thing. We're just indirectly talking about it. We're just talking about something the dinosaurs are doing, not the actual thing that humans do.
Do you give examples later?
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Yeah,
I'll give you some. Good. Thank you. Okay.
So the show begins. It's basically, here's the setting of the show. It begins in 60 million and 3 in Pangaea. The supercontinent focused on the Sinclair family, which includes Earl Sinclair, the dad slash Megalosaurus, Fran Sinclair, the mom slash Allosaurus. I do think it's weird, the interspecies, how, like, the science of them having children works, but okay.
I've never thought about that.
Yeah, the dinosaurs, there's no reason they should be different dinosaurs and having kids. Robbie Sinclair, which is the teenage son slash Hypsilophodon.
Technical.
Yeah.
Scientific.
Charlene, the daughter slash protoceratops. And of course, the moneymaker, Baby Sinclair, which is the baby son slash Megalosaurus.
He was more like an angry marshmallow.
He really was, because apparently he's supposed to be a baby version of what his dad was, as a Megalosaurus. These are not dinosaurs you would have heard about, except Allosaurus. Like, that was the only one I'd heard of these. That I would have heard of as a kid. So, basically the dinosaur, what variety they were, was not terribly important.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not important to the story. So of course the baby Sinclair was known for hitting his dad with a frying pan. Literally, they even talked about the fact that, like, in lieu of good jokes or good content, sometimes they would just be like, we're just going to hit him extra times with the frying pan this episode to cover it up. constantly. And then he would also say things like, as I'm sure you're aware, I'm the baby, gotta love me again. And not the mama.
The
again one I had to do in tone, but the other ones, you guys know, you guys remember that. Or maybe you don't.
Maybe you don't.
They did have...
In which case, how are you here?
Yeah. I will say... Baby Sinclair, I'd have to look it up, but I wonder if it's made by, if the voice of them is the exact same person who does Elmo. If you can look that up, that'd be great. But I feel like they sound identical. In fact, they made, I remember they made a Baby Sinclair doll, kind of as an ode, like a very similar doll to the Tickle Me Elmo type thing. I don't think it was a tickling thing, but it had, like, the voice was identical. So it was just, you know, just funny remembering that.
So, there are four people credited as doing, five people credited as doing his voice. Excuse me? Oh, Kevin Clash is, I guess, the number one.
Yeah. The other ones might have been like controlling the body or something like that. So,
That is also, it is the Elmo character. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, you're good.
Good.
So the show finally ended due to a couple things. Okay. One, losing ratings because of being moved around to different time slots. Okay. So I found out it got moved to the same time slot as Full House and Family Matters.
Wouldn't that be? Oh, you're meaning like in opposition? Were they on NBC?
I don't know. This was on ABC.
But I guess so. I'm saying saying
I have no idea what channels the other ones were on. I think that's what NBC. It said. So yeah, so they got put opposite of them, and it was just brutal because like what you can't put fake dinosaurs against.
the
Uncle Joey. So despite actors being inside the dinosaur costumes, the faces. Of the dinosaurs were 100% animatronic. So basically, it ended up landing this show, Dinosaurs, the unwanted title of the most expensive 30-minute television show ever as of 1994. So essentially, that's probably more so why it went downhill. They're like, listen, guys, like we're making a good amount of money on this, but like we could literally do anything else and it would not cost us nearly this much. Because I didn't even think about that. I'm like, I mean, the body's clearly there's people walking around them, but they can't control the face. So, and the faces were very expressive. So that's very important. So the episodes. I ended up watching four because one of them, and I'll mention later, one of them was episode 14, the final episode listed of season four. So I'm like, oh, it's the finale. I watched the whole thing waiting for the part at the end, and it wasn't the finale. Apparently... The people who I bought this from was just like, we're just going to put the finale as episode 7. For no reason, out of order. So I did end up buying that and watching the finale because I've heard so much about it, I had to watch it myself.
How did it, can you spoil it for us, for those who, I don't remember the finale of the show.
Oh, I'm going to tell you about the finale because I watched
it. Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
The first episode that I watched was this amazing anti-drug episode. It honestly, compared to some of the other ones, is a very good one. I do think it's less anti-drug and more anti-addiction because I'm like, it's very good at portraying addiction in general. It's not so great at just like recreational use of these drugs, but it's basically like, hey, everybody gets addicted immediately. So different than many others at the time, Robbie, the son, discovers a plant out in the forest along with his friend who's a little more sketchy, and he decides to eat it because they're both hungry. So they're just like, hey, this is probably edible, it's a plant. And then they end up just like lying on the ground, just laughing, and just like they're like so happy. They're just like, and so like he had just had a fight with his dad and he goes home and he's like, I love my dad, man. Hey, Dad, I love you. And he's just like super like, I'm just so happy and everything's great. Why don't you eat this plant? And he just like... So he gets a bunch of the plant and brings it home with him and gives it to both his dad and his sister, who are like, well, I want to be happy. And so they do it. And they're just like in the house. Everybody's super chill and happy about everything. And they're like, man, this is amazing. Everything feels so good. They're not being crazy. They're just being super chill and super happy. The problem is that and various other people do it, too. But the problem is that Earl gets fired from his job because he just doesn't show up. And the kids are just not going to school. And so the mom is the only one who isn't high and it's like, what the fuck is happening? So finally they run out of the stuff and are sober for a couple days and have like massive hangovers. When they end up finding more a couple days later, they finally come to and decide, you know what? We got to get rid of this. So they burn it all. And then at the end, yeah, I know. They kind of shut down everybody. But evidently, not only them, but, like, their business where his dad worked, like, the boss there got fired. I don't think that ended up being canon because he was back the next episode. But, but like, just a lot of bad stuff happened as a result of this drug. So they kind of do a funny thing at the end that I actually liked. So Robbie, the teen walks out onto a basically off screen onto a TV set, as of like, hey, we're just filming. Like, he's a dinosaur that's just on the show. He's like, hey, I'm Robbie. You maybe know me from the Toe Dinosaurs. He's like, the ending of the show is a PSA message, but unlike most, it's less of like, hey, drugs are bad, and more so he's saying, hey, stop doing drugs so shows don't have to keep doing these terrible episodes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
That is amazing.
Because he's like, we're only a year in and they're already making us do one of these. So just come on, guys. Stop doing the drugs so we can stop having to do these. So
wow.
It was great.
That's a hilarious response to that. Wow. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. Second one I watched, Robbie is trying to, this was listed as the best episode on some list. So that's why I got it.
Okay.
Robbie is trying to ask a chick out on a date, but she seems to be all about this massive thick boy. B-O-I, who is super dumb. So she's working. So he tries to work out a bunch with his dad, but he's not getting much results. So he basically uses dino-roids. He finds these little like furry things in this guy's locker that like criticize you and yell at you. And then you just eat it and it makes you massive and huge.
Amazing.
So he ends up asking the girl to the dance and she's like, I mean, sure. After Robbie ends up punching the big guy in the face and knocking him out. So Robbie ends up being an insanely huge dick to everyone and just threatening people and ripping stuff out of the ground for no reason. Literally just like he pulled the sink out of the floor for no reason and threw it.
Cool guy.
So he goes to the dance with the chick and is like, and she is like, fuck this. I don't care that you're thick. You're an asshat. she basically said, hey, I actually did like you before. You just never asked me out. And he's like, fuck. Then Robbie's BFF, who is super sketchy, who is an ankylosaurus, which is my favorite dinosaur, by the way. But he's always sketchy. He's wearing a leather coat and this is the one episode where he's not sketchy, which is weird. Forces him to dry out. He literally hangs him up by his spikes, like on a locker and just makes him like dry out of the stuff. And so he goes way down in size. And then he goes home and basically tells his family sorry, like, for being such a dick.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot. Like I said,
doesn't he start looking a little ragged in the episode? Like, doesn't he start looking a little wild in the face, or am I making that up?
I don't recall. I didn't think so. I mean, he just was so aggressive, like so insanely aggressive. And I know he started growing spikes on his chest, which is not where they're supposed to be.
Oh my!
So like some weird shit was happening, and he's just like, "Oh, this is rad."
So rad.
Yeah, I did want to say there was the pump fake finale that I did watch, which was one about that was focused on called Georgie Must Die. Georgie, which is literally a playoff of, it was almost identical to Barney at the time. And Baby Sinclair loved it. And all the parents were like, fuck this show. Georgie has to go down. And so they end up this whole plan to shut him down. So the finale, which was, like I said, randomly episode 7 out of a 14 episode season. Dinosaurs are becoming super greedy and getting super advanced tech, which, I mean, they already had TVs and stuff, but I guess they're just getting even more and more greedy as time goes on. Every year there's an arrival of these certain types of bugs that come and they eat all of these poppies, that start like populating the area, but they didn't show up. Like one of this bug showed up and apparently it can talk because why not?
Of course.
And it's just like, hey, like, you know, we were going to come, but like everyone's dead. Like you guys built a plastic plant where we normally come up and you killed all of them. So as a result of that, the entire world basically for dinosaurs is being taken over by poppies and vines. So these vines are just like covering everything because the bugs aren't there to eat them. So it's bad news bears. So Earl, the dad, is assigned to an environmental task force and ends up spraying them with what's called bye-bye juice, basically pesticides, which solves the vine problem, but also solves the problem of every piece of plant life on Earth.
Oops.
Whoops. So they like look out the window. He looks out the window the next day after he's super proud of himself, and it's just like a fucking barren wasteland.
Oh my gosh.
Then, of course, humans are like, well, I made a mistake. Let's fix it. To bring the plants back, his boss suggests to him, he's like, where do clouds come from? We need rain. And he's like, volcanoes, of course. So they're like, well, how are we going to make more clouds with the volcanoes? He's like, put bombs in them, of course.
What?
So they go to all these different volcanoes around the world and put a shitload of bombs in them and then blow them up. And so there's a bunch of somehow this works in the fact that clouds do appear. The problem is the temperature reduces drastically and it starts snowing nonstop, and it's going to snow and snow and snow and snow for days. And basically Earl brought on the next ice age.
Oops.
As the
I thought you were going to say they all died from like lava or.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought. I would have thought. So in the end, I had no idea how somber this end was. So it's like they're in the house closed up because like snow is just building up around the house. Like they can't hardly get out. And it's so cold. And they're like huddled up and they're like talking about like what's going to happen next. You're like, I don't know, son, but whatever it is, we'll do it together. And then as they sit there, as snow is coming out everywhere, they go to the news that's still on TV. And the guy's like, good night and goodbye. Is the last line, and then that's the end of the show.
Oh my gosh.
It is so dark.
That is so, you were like, oh, it's like a murder-suicide situation. Earl just like took everyone out. Like, I don't know which one would have been worse. That's rough.
It's rough. Yikes. I mean, like, it's just like, especially having no solace for the fact that he did in fact end the world.
Oh my gosh.
Just feel like you did this and there's nothing there's no silver lining to this at all. A few actors that I wanted to mention. I was gonna go through trivia, but I was like, I covered enough on like these episodes. So Spike, who is the best friend of Robbie, is actually played by Christopher Maloney, who, if you know, that is the dude from SVU. I'm sure you'd recognize him if you saw him, Christopher Maloney. So he's a super good actor. I just couldn't believe that he was in this. Sherman Hemsley played Earl's boss, which was this massive angry Triceratops. Jessica Walter played Fran. She's the one from Arrested Development and Archer, the older, like, mother.
Mm-hmm.
Sally Struthers played Charlene, as well as some smaller parts by Tim Curry, Ed Asner, Jason Alexander, and many more. So there were a lot of interesting cameos throughout the series as well, but those were kind of the bigger ones that I wanted to mention. So I'll tell you what, I enjoyed watching this show. It is really clunky and weird, but I mean, like, that's to be expected with the technology they had at the time. It felt like, man, they put a lot of unnecessary extra work into this show that, I mean, that's the thing. I guess they couldn't really accomplish the same thing if they made it a human cast, but.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's Dinosaurs. It's pretty rad.
Dinosaurs. I've been dying to hear about that for so long. Man, I really want to go back. Where did you buy it from?
I hate telling people this because I feel bad. Amazon online.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's where you found it.
I bought four episodes for 99 cents each just so I could watch them. But yeah.
That's good. No, I just want to know where you can get it.
I think seasons are like $6.99 for 14 episodes or something like that.
Maybe. I feel like my kids I don't know, based on some of the stuff you said, maybe I can't let them watch that.
But it's super subtle. Like, you wouldn't necessarily know if you weren't an adult. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's like some certain, they just tackle a lot of like actual everyday problems and stuff like that are pretty heavy sometimes. But yeah, it's just, and I guess there were some other ones too that were episodes that were actually during the reruns from like 94 to 2000. Episodes were not even played.
Wow. Yeah. You know what? I think given how violent my 2-year-old is, she's just out of control. Maybe I don't show her a baby hitting their parents with a frying pan.
Yeah, I didn't
maybe
think I about don't. That. It's like, here's a literal example of what you could be doing to hurt us more.
Yeah, let's not. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for Dinosaurs. Thank you. Appreciate that. And now we are switching on over to a special home improvement. Stop, because we don't need to hear the whole thing. It's like 47 seconds long.
Fucking jazz flute is so dope.
If it's not jazz flute, get out of here with that. All right, as someone who played the flute, don't come at me with nothing that ain't jazz flute. Just jazz flute forever. Listen, guys, Home Improvement was an amazing little sitcom that aired from September 17th, 1991 up until May 25th, 1999.
Whoa,
that's a pretty big run.
So it's 8 years,
so many years. Okay. Just shy of 8 years.
Okay.
So good. So this was on ABC along with all the other killer sitcoms of that era. It had a solid cast lineup. And so the quick background of the show before we dive into the cast is that it follows Tim Taylor and his family of five as they survive the many crazy antics of their horrible constant fuck up of a father slash builder slash mechanic slash electrician. And he has his own TV show called Tool Time.
Yeah.
And of course, it's kind of along the lines of every sitcom, you know, conflict resolution, yada, yada, yada. But before we go into anything else, let's talk about the main characters of the show. Tim, the tool man Taylor, is, of course, played by the one, the only, Tim Allen. I can't do it. Jill Taylor, his wife, is played by Patricia Richardson. And their kids from eldest to youngest on the show were Bradley, played by Zachary Ty Bryan. Randy, played by the heartthrob Jonathan Taylor Thomas. And Mark, played by Taran Noah Smith. Now, let's take a moment and appreciate the fact that all three of their children go by, or all three of those actors go by three names. Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Zachary Ty Bryan, Taran Noah Smith. It's like, this was like a hot fucking thing in the 90s to go by all of your names.
JTT, man. Like,
JTT, baby.
It's one of those things, we have not covered like really much JTT stuff, but like when I was growing up, he was like, everything. Like, there was a period of time where he was like the most famous person, like
absolutely. He was especially after he was
just for being cast a cute as boy. The
voice, and he was a cute boy, but he was also talented, and he was the voice for Simba. Is that correct?
Yep.
Now let me just go ahead and side note on the Lisa train. Everyone was all about JTT. I was on a different Jonathan train, Jonathan Brandis. Oh yeah.
Ooh.
Love you, Jonathan Brandis. He's dead. Sorry, Jonathan Brandis.
Whoops.
But oops. All Jonathan Brandis. So
oops, all dead.
That oops, all dead. It's sad. Don't look it up. Their down to earth and full of advice neighbor, of course, was Wilson, played by Earl Hindman. I don't know how you say that.
Number one reference that I make in day to day life is 100%. I like anytime I see somebody who I can only see like their nose and up, I'm like, yes. It's like full on Wilson mode.
Full on Wilson mode. I would love to go as Wilson one year for Halloween.
Just I don't know like if a fence coming up to your nose. That'd be pretty good.
I'd be like, yeah, just check me out. / don't check me out. Okay. Then Tim's co-host on the show was Al Borland, played by Richard Karn. And the tool girl on the show was at first a girl named Lisa, played by the one, the only Pamela Anderson, who was later replaced by Heidi, who was played by Debbie Dunning. Okay. So like I said, Tim's whole shtick was that he was constantly on the hunt to like improve things in the house or all around the world by giving everything more power. I'm so bad at this sound. Can you do it better than I can?
Well, can I don't remember his like chuckling sound. I don't remember.
You don't. I have it saved somewhere. I'll look it up. Tim Allen grunt 10 hours. Let's do this. Let's see. Well, this is not the 10 hour one.
This is the most unpleasant thing I've ever listened to.
It's pretty bad. I listened to one that was like, I don't want to say it was like a dubstep remix of it, but there was some kind of remix of Tim Allen's grunts earlier. My son came up and he was like, man, what is this? I was like, this is not for you. I need you to leave immediately. So with, like I said, he had his show, Tool Time. And he would, of course, use his like trusty sponsor, Benford Tools, for all of his renovations and everything like that. And they were the sponsor of the show, from what I could tell. All of this would result in him not fully knowing or caring about everything that he was doing, being like super overly confident in what he thought he could do. And then like putting a short in something or having something explode or fly out of the walls. Like that was his number one thing. Always getting electrocuted. Something always hitting him. So, yeah, it was great. So also, the show was based, like, their home was based out of suburban Detroit. So that's always a thing, too, in that he was, like,
super
always
weird,
a fan
yeah.
of the Lions and, was it the Pistons? Is that what I read? I don't remember.
Yeah, that would be right. Yeah, that's so wild, like, that's really a really unusual location.
It is. When I remember that, I was like, thank you for not being, like, San Francisco or San Francisco.
Or San Francisco.
So I was like, this is great. Because at that time, it seemed like everybody was in sunny California or New York City. So this is right in Detroit. So in proper sitcom style, you basically just watch every episode, conflict resolution, with like a little bit of like Tim blowing himself up and the kids having this like really heartwarming moment with mom or dad. It was kind of like that. But there were some moments that were interesting to watch. So for instance, throughout the entire series, Brad and Randy, the two older children, Brandy. Brandy. Look at that. Portmanteaus for days.
Word.
Constantly tormenting the youngest one, Mark, who is like a little dweeby boy. And I feel like I could identify with Mark a lot, but I know. I'm sorry.
Me too.
I could identify with Brad because he was like the big man on campus and Randy was just like a short, hot thing. And then there was just Mark who was like, I'm here, I guess, LOL. And he did his best. So one thing about the series that I always remember was that they brought it for some dope ass Halloween episodes every single season. Do you remember these?
I don't think so, no.
Man, they would just, I just remember that like for Halloween and Christmas, but especially Halloween, it just seemed like they went out. I think I read in trivia that in the only season that they did not have like a really dedicated Halloween episode was season one. But I remember this, that like there was always, you know, they were dressing up or there was like a Tool Time Halloween bit or something tied into it. It was just, I don't know. I just remember it being a thing. It was awesome. One storyline that always stuck out to me was the episode where Mark went like goth or got kind of dark on them. He was like doing a film project with a friend of his that was like,
checks out.
Yeah, it was awesome. I was just like, yeah, Mark, this is dope. I watched that episode or portions of that episode today. And he had them like talking about how everyone else in the family was just like this beautiful, picturesque family. And they were like, but then they forgot about this other kid. And then he showed them what's up. And it's basically, he made a film insinuating that he chopped off his family's heads.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa, cool. Mark, cool coming flick. Out swinging. Cool Warp Tour attitude, Mark. Why don't you chill out with that shit? He went pretty hard. And then there was, so similarly, as all sitcoms did in the 90s, apparently, they found Brad, the eldest, with weed.
No!
They found Brad with weed. Oh, no. But Brad admitted it was his after, you know, lying about it for a second. But he was like, but they didn't do the, like, there's no hope with dope. They were like, you got to be honest with us. Don't do this. Don't put yourself at risk.
So it's an honesty thing more than a weed thing. Like, weed's fine.
Yeah, because he was like, Dad, you mean to tell me that you growing up with, like, Woodstock, you never went to that? He was like, that's neither here nor there. So I was like, yeah, Tim.
Wow. That is pretty good in a anti-drug commercial, episode, potentially. I don't know if that's what it was, but
like, to be like,
just being like, yeah, like, admittedly, we all did it.
Like, is it super fun? But, yeah. Should you do it? I don't know. I don't know how to answer that on TV right now. So if you remember anything from the show, I think after season one, they started doing this thing with the cold opens where they would have this like anthropomorphic logo of the, like the Home Improvement logo, like dancing around, swinging mm-hmm. around, falling off of stuff. I remember that. That to me is always how like I knew, I want to say they were on Friday nights. I could be wrong. Maybe Thursday. I don't remember. But like that's how I always knew like shit was about to get good. If you saw the logo like swinging it around, mm-hmm. it just, I don't know. That's a very strong 90s association for me. And so now one thing that we absolutely have to remark on, like we talked about, was their neighbor Wilson and his perpetually partially obscured face. Now, raise your hand right now if you thought that the actor who played Wilson had a tragically disfigured mouth or jaw. My hand is up. This is like a mandala effect. Like I swore that I saw an episode where they were like, yeah, here's his face. And it was all like droopy. My hand is still raised. I thought he had a bad, had a different face.
I mean, did you think this? At some point you see him though. Cause like, I remember, recognize his entire face right now.
See, but I misremembered his face. It's like having like a big swollen lip and kind of like, I guess I assume like what someone who's maybe had a severe stroke looks like or something like that. Like I in my head, I got burned into my head that that's what he had. Maybe it was just
like, they're like, we really like this actor, but we just can't show the full face on TV.
He's such a good, easygoing actor, but wow. But no, his face was fine. We're wrong. I am putting my hand down now because Earl Hyman had a totally normal face. Yeah. And I was totally wrong about this. And the reason Wilson's face was always obscured was not to hide a disfigurement or to hide any of the other like weird conspiracy theories I read online about him like being in the witness protection program or even him having like been the father to one of the Taylor's kids. What are you guys on with that shit, you weirdos? It was instead because Tim Allen always grew up with like talking to neighbors over the fence. And so it's a strong association to him that if you were talking to a neighbor, you would only be able to see the top of their heads. So it was never that his face was fucked up. It was only that Tim Allen had a little sweet boy association with that. And that's all that is. So I've been schooled.
So go back to your freaking caves.
monsters.
Conspiracy theorists.
Yes. Now, I did not watch the finale of the show. I realize in hindsight I probably should have because I don't remember how it ended. But, you know, the kids all went to college at some point. I think Jill got a job at some point. You know, things were good. The show, I don't remember there being any crazy storylines. I'm probably missing some, but that's hard to cover. I mean, I always want to do a show, and then I'm like, let's do a show. Then I'm like, fuck, there are 8 years of episodes to gut through. Mm-hmm. So instead, I'm going to wrap this segment up with a little bit of the trivia that was interesting to me. So apparently colleges and universities would send in their t-shirts and sweaters to Tim Allen in hopes that he would wear them on the air, and he did.
Holy shit.
And there's a Yeah, and there's like a whole list of all the colleges and universities that were featured on the show that did stuff like that. So that was a cool little nod.
Yeah, that's a cool thing. I mean, I will say that's, like, given the things that I'd heard about Tim Allen as a human being, I'm glad to hear that he did some nice things too.
Yes, yes, exactly. The Tool Time audience, so whenever they were filming the show within the show, that was actually a real live studio audience. Almost all of the new Binford tools, when they were released, they had the model number 6100. Almost all of them. That's interesting. Curious. Weird. Curious.
Weird number to choose.
A weird number to choose, especially if it's a new one. But this was apparently the last U.S. broadcast network sitcom to be videotaped. Now, I don't know if that means that, like, they moved to something else other than video after that, but that was just listed. I don't know how to interpret that, but I'm just going to drop that
for
you. Yeah,
I'd be curious. I'm kind of curious too.
Yeah. Let's see. There was apparently a video game made.
Of course there was.
It was on the SNES, and I looked it up. It did not look like the worst game. It was on the SNES. It registered to me as like a Sonic knockoff, which is a really unusual thing to say.
That's such a weird thing.
He just gathers rings. What's that about, LOL? Why is he blue? This is just Sonic. This is a reskin Sonic.
They did have a dinosaurs one in the plans, but like they were kind of like super hesitant because apparently it was going to be just like it was going to be nothing about the TV show basically at all. And then they ended up just because by the time they finally were ready to put it out, like there was like no interest in the show because it had already ended. So
that's so crazy. That's I wish they would have. I would have loved to have seen that. The last little bit of trivia that I wanted to share with you is that Brad and Randy, the eldest and middle child who were in the show, they're supposed to be a few years apart in age. They were actually only a month and a day apart in age with Jonathan Taylor Thomas, the middle child, being the eldest of the two. He was just a smaller boy than Brandon Ty, Zachary
Everybody
Ty Bryan.
Look left. Everybody look who's standing spotlight.
How do you know your Disney songs better than I do? Oh, you were in choir though, right?
Yeah, I don't think we sang that. I mean, there's just a few things that I remember.
That's just an important one to know. I don't know that one as well. Mm-hmm. But listen, that's Home Improvement, and it's just a good show, and everyone should go. It's really fun to go back and watch it. It feels good to the soul. It feels like 90s to me. It's just enjoyable.
God, I can't.
So you don't want me to play that for the next 14 and a half minutes to wrap up the show?
I don't get it, like, at all. I still don't get it to this day.
Oh, before I forget, the thing I did want to tell you, the tie-in to Memento, before I forget, Richard Karn, the actor that played Al Borland, it was not supposed to be him to play Al, his assistant. The man from Memento, the one who's, what was it? No.
Lenny?
The guy who just kept forgetting, not the main character, but the other guy that kind of kept forgetting everything.
Lenny, but yeah, the guy who always says Lenny. I can't.
Was it Lenny?
No, is it Pantheon? Let me see. Lenny is the name of the main character. But yeah,
it's not Lenny.
There's the guy who always says Lenny, the guy who ended up killing at the end.
No, not that guy.
Joe Pantoliano.
Nope, not him. His name was Sammy, Stephen Tobolowsky.
I'm fired.
I know I'm fired, but he played Stephen in the movie, but am I right?
You might be
Stephen
wrong.
Stephen Tobolowsky. Anyway, he was in Memento. He played Sammy. He was supposed to be Al.
Oh, Sammy Jenkins.
Thank you. He was supposed to be Al, but he had just signed up for a movie or something like that, and he kind of just got left behind for it, but he would have been he would have been a pretty good owl.
Yeah, he's the little bald guy who was he's been in yeah, he was in some movies earlier, like maybe like the Vacation movies. I don't remember. There's a movie that he's in that's very good, that's very memorable to me, but I don't remember which one it is, so I will shut up.
He was in Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day is what I'm thinking of. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm saying he was in more stuff than I remembered, but not the stuff I thought he was in. He was also in Silicon Valley, the show. Damn, weird. He's good. I love this actor. But anywho, that's Home Improvement.
So we rest our case, folks. So let's go ahead and close this out with the where to find us. If you want to get your votes in and vote on this court case, as always, check us out on Facebook and Twitter at 90s Court. The polls on Facebook are up open the day of. Twitter is usually the next day following. At 90s Court on, I'm sorry, at 90s.court on Instagram. Again, with that one, the poll is only open for 24 hours. So if you want to get it, it's on the story of our 90s Court page. If you'd like to support the show and get some bonus content and shoutouts, hop on patreon.com/90sCourt. And as always, hop on iTunes/Apple Podcasts and leave us a nice 5-star rating and review. Or just please say hey. That. Or just come by and say hey. We're cool. We like friends.
We do. Yeah. We like friends.
So anyways,
we love rating friends again. Too.
We like what friends?
Rating friends. Friends that rate and review and all the good things. Okay. So
I thought you meant like we enjoyed friends and being like, they're like a 7.
No.
Okay. No. So anyways, thanks everybody for joining us for episode 62 of 90s Court. Lisa, any parting remarks before we depart?
I'm done.
All right, everybody.
Last one for the show. Thanks. I'm done. Thanks. Bye, everyone. Thank Have a good so week. Much. See you next week.
Stay rad.